For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Hour number 2 of the Hoffman Show on the team, 980. Always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And yes, if you'd like to see our faces, we're on YouTube at the team 980. Right now, just after 5 o'clock, you know what we do. Day's top story, of course, NFL season right around the corner. It's time for Not My Beat.
Today's top story, from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
This just in.
Not My Beat.
Today, and it's our pleasure to welcome back a longtime friend of, I would say, the show and shows that I've done. I've known him since I was an intern at ESPN when he was there, and he's done a whole bunch of cool stuff since he's left, including a brand new show on the DraftKings Network that will start next, Thursdays and Mondays at 6 p.m. It is Trey Wingo. Trey, how are you, sir?
I'm alive. And then I'm dead. I'm alive again, Craig. How are we?
I am good. I'm feeling more alive than dead today. And, you know, sometimes as you get to this part of the year, that's all you can really hope for.
Exactly. You just want to make it to the start of the football season and then hang on for the ride, brother.
Yes, and what a ride it will be this year. We will do some hot and cold in the NFC East with Trey coming up in a second. But, Trey, tell me about the new gig. Tell me about the DraftKings show you guys are going to do starting here with the season starting up.
Yeah, it's great. We'll do a condensed version of it on the season opener Thursday night in Kansas City a week from tomorrow, and then every Monday and Thursday nights on DraftKings Network, 6 to 7 Eastern. It's called the Pregame Power-Up. We're just going to get you set for everything you need to know about primetime football, insights, depth, analysis, where you should be looking to place some of your money if you're so inclined, and maybe get you set for fantasy lineups. We'll go live to the stadiums. Have all kinds of thoughts and analysis and insights from betting analysts, plus former NFL players. Guys like Golic and Gojo are going to join us. Ross Tucker, Marshall Newhouse, former longtime NFL lineman who played for both Tom Brady in New England and Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay out of his college days at TCU. He'll be a part of it. So we'll be all set. We'll be running the whole thing through the season all the way up to we'll be in New Orleans for the Super Bowl with a show every day that week. So we're really looking forward to this.
And I will say, last year, looking at the DraftKings set, very, very nice set, Super Bowl Radio Row last year that Gojo and them got to hang out on, which is very nice. We're also big fans of the Golic family here on the Hoffman Show. I just got to ask, Trey, like, when you think back to, you know, the work you did at NFL Live and kind of when we knew each other at ESPN back in the day, and now you're not only getting to cover, like, the gambling part that was always kind of the underbelly of the NFL, but you're now working for DraftKings. Like, you just laugh and think of how gambling content and even references, it was like Musburger, like, ooh, he's touching the third rail back then versus the way the landscape has changed now.
Oh, it's so stupid if you look at it historically. Like, when we would do stuff for NFL Live, we couldn't do over under win totals because that was associated with gambling. So we just changed the words. We said more than or less than because the NFL didn't want us to use the phrase over under. And when we did something like that, we were not allowed to use the team names. We had to say the team in Cincinnati or the team in our nation's capital or the team that represents Massachusetts and parts of New England. I mean, I'm old enough to remember when the NFL barred Tony Romo from holding a fantasy football convention in a hotel in Vegas because there was a casino in the hotel. Well, we just had a Super Bowl in Las Vegas. We've had a draft in Las Vegas, and we have a team in Las Vegas. I'll give the NFL credit because they're really good at two things, Craig. Number one, keeping our attention, and number two, knowing how to make money. And once the Supreme Court changed the rules for where you can bet and what you can do, the NFL said, I see an opportunity. Let's get there.
Yes, that is why Roger Goodell is employed and makes all that money, because for all of the other criticisms we might have of the man, he is so good at making them money. Trey Wingo with us here on The Hoffman Show, a host with the DraftKings Network, amongst his other projects. And Trey, when we were texting to see if you could come on today, and always appreciate your time when you do join us. When we were texting and we're talking about some of the teams in the NFC East, you said you were hot on the Commanders. What do you like about what Adam Peters and Dan Quinn have started to build here?
Well, I have to put it in the context of what my expectations are, right? So let me explain it this way. First of all, I love Dan Quinn, and I love the fact that after he got fired from the head coaching job in Atlanta, he went back to his coaching roots and reestablished himself and became, you know, a significant player again with the things he did with that Dallas defense. Remember, Jerron Bland set the record for pick sixes in a season last year. He wasn't even supposed to play. I mean, he only played because Trevon Diggs got hurt. Well, now Bland is hurt and Diggs is back. So, this is what Dan Quinn does. Every year it seems like there's this team in the NFL that manages to go from worst to first in their division. Just this past year, the Texans, they had two wins. They are terrible. Oh, my God, they're drafting a rookie quarterback and a first-year head coach. What the hell are they going to do? 10-7 and win a playoff game is what they did. So you see this happen almost every year. So in the context of the Commanders, I'm like, okay, is it possible that the Commanders could be a team that might go from worst to first? And I think the answer to that is kind of yes. And here's why I would explain. The Cowboys are out, historically. Nobody has repeated in the NFC East since the Eagles won it 4 years in a row from the late 90s to the early 2000s. We're going on a 20-year run with no team repeating as the NFC East champs. That is by far the longest stretch of any division in football. So historically, the Cowboys are out. Historically, the Cowboys are also out because they can never get their bleep together. Let's just be honest about it, okay? Now, they paid CeeDee Lamb, and that was right. By the way, I will say this. Go look at CeeDee Lamb's numbers. And I don't know why you don't automatically say his name along with Justin Jefferson and Tyreek Hill when you're talking about the best wide receivers in the game. If it's about production, he's as good or better than either one of them. You're the second most receiving yards, second most receiving touchdowns, the most catches. I think he had the most 100-yard games. He had the most first half yards. He was number one in yards after catch. I mean, like, if you go down the things you want your number one wide receiver to be, CeeDee Lamb checks all of those boxes.
So Trey, I'll interject real quick here to say, I heard a stat today. I was listening to my pal Robert Mays on the Athletic Football Show in their NFC East preview. And if you, I think it was weeks 7 through 18 last year, if you take the numbers from that stretch and then project them over a full schedule, Lamb would have had over 200 targets last year. That is how featured he was.
Yeah, he was 181 targets, also number one in the NFL last season. So, like, this don't put him out of, like, don't just say Justin Jefferson and Tyreek Hill or Ja'Marr Chase without saying CeeDee Lamb. That's how good he is. So you may not like it, but that's your opinion. I'm going on facts and data, okay? So, the reason I bring this up, the Cowboys, I think, are out. Now, the Eagles, right? Oh, the Eagles are loaded. Howie Roseman had another great draft. Well, they're still the team that somehow fumbled their way down the stretch, losing six of their last seven games to lose the division to Dallas, and then got bounced summarily in the first round of the postseason. And then this offseason, when Jalen Hurts was asked about, you know, what's your relationship with Nick Sirianni, is everything okay? His response was, remember, that's not true. It's like, why are we talking about this? It's old news. As in, bleep, everybody knows this. No lie. So let's just move on. So there's an issue there. Okay, let's just be honest. If you go back to the Super Bowl a couple years ago against the Chiefs when they were waiting to decide whether Dallas got it the first half and caught that pass for a first down, Sirianni was like pointing his arm saying first down, and Jalen Hurts, the young quarterback, had to tell his head coach, dude, calm down, grow up, okay? So there's something there. Let's not pretend like there's nothing there. So that may be something the Eagles have to deal with. And the Giants are going to be terrible. I'm sorry. Daniel Jones is not going to magically transform after the contract you gave him. He's still the guy in the preseason game he last played against the Texans. Oh, wait, I'm going to be sacked for a safety? No, instead of that, I'm going to throw a pick six because that's a better idea. That's a better option. So everyone can love Malik Nabers, but if Daniel Jones is pulling the trigger, Malik Nabers can only be as good as this quarterback, right? Let's just be honest about that. So that leaves us with Washington. I'm a big believer in Dan Quinn, as I said. I love the defense, and I love the players he brought with him. I am also particularly fond of Jaden Daniels. I remember watching him before he went to LSU and won a Heisman, when he was recruited out of high school to play for my guy Herm Edwards at Arizona State. Kid showed up big time in big games on the road against Michigan State. Big game. He has that vernacular. We saw what he did at LSU. Now, his frame is a little slight, so injuries are always an issue. But I think Jaden Daniels can have a C.J. Stroud-type season for the Washington Commanders because I like the offensive weapons they have around him.
So I'm curious, talking to Herm over the course of the draft process, did you get a favorite Jaden story out of him?
We've talked about a million things about Jaden. Nothing particular to that specific thing, but he loves the kid. Like, you know, he absolutely loved the kid. And he said when he realized things were going south at Arizona State, he said, you need to go. Go wherever you need to go. We'll support you 100%. Do what you got to do. We get it. We don't get it. We're never going to block you or stop you and try and get you from not maximizing your worth and your potential. And Herb could not say enough good things about Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, I know they had a great relationship. Obviously, Jaden and AP, we saw Daniels in the Raiders locker room after last season. And then, of course, winds his way to Washington. And so we'll see what he can be in year one. Trey Wingo with us here on the Hoffman Show. New show for him, Mondays and Thursdays during the NFL season, 6 o'clock on the DraftKings Network. One thing that is fascinating for me, Trey, big picture this year, Jaden adjacent, is how Washington is handling Jaden and kind of their team building with this longer term vision around Daniels, and where Chicago, the obviously one pick higher than them in the draft, is like, we are all in right now. They kind of started the rebuild a couple years ago. They've got some pieces in place and they are spending bigly to try to compete this year. What do you make of those two strategies and the chances that either one or both is the right strategy for each individual quarterback?
Well, it's interesting, right? Because we've seen this happen a few times over the last few years with quarterbacks sit. Patrick Mahomes sat his rookie year. His only start was the last game of the regular season after Alex Smith and the Chiefs had already locked up the division title. The division they've won eight straight years now, which even predates Patrick's run. And then we've seen guys like C.J. Stroud come in right away and be really successful. And then we've seen Bryce Young come in right away and really, really struggle. So I think you have to get a feel for the guy. You know, and Patrick, he knew when he had Alex there. You know, when people forget one thing about Patrick Mahomes, he took zero endorsement money his rookie year. He turned down every single endorsement deal because he's like, I'm not the starter. I shouldn't be getting endorsement deals. The people that are playing, the people that are leading the team, they should be getting the endorsement deals. So they had a really good feel that Mahomes would not be one of those guys who would bitch about it and be upset about it if he isn't starting right away because he's seeing the bigger picture. And I think you might be seeing some of that same sort of situation with Jaden. He understands this is a long play for him, and I think he's fine and willing to do whatever he believes is necessary for his best long-term development.
And then with Caleb, they're taking it even a step further where it's not just like, hey, you're the starter, but like we kind of expect to win right away. Do you think that he and they, like, it's not even can he handle the pressure? I think Caleb's shown like he kind of invites pressure. And I don't say that as a criticism. Like he's a big personality and can handle such things. But have they given him enough? Whether it's, you know, the Keenan Allen and DJ Moore signings, re-signing in DJ's case, and just making him feel comfortable by giving him a boatload of money. And then what they've done defensively, that strategy of a more aggressive, short-term, we're ready to win now play could also potentially work for Chicago.
I think it could. And I say this not with I understand how this is going to sound. I'm not sure there's a quarterback heading into his rookie year, taking number one overall in the draft, that has ever walked into a better situation than Caleb Williams is walking into. Okay? You just mentioned DJ Moore. They have tight end Cole Kmet. They have DeAndre Swift. They have a revamped offensive line. They draft Rome Odunze, and they trade for Keenan Allen. Like, literally, a week before that trade happened, we had Justin Herbert on our Chasing It podcast, myself and Chase Daniel, and he could not have been more effusive in his praise of Keenan Allen and how he makes him such a better quarterback and all that kind of stuff. And then a week later, he's gone to the Bears. So I can't – can you think of a quarterback taking number one overall that walked into a situation with better weapons? And, oh, by the way, let's add this in as well. The Bears' defense is a top-10 defense. When Justin Fields was taken in the first round by the Bears, their two top weapons were Darnell Mooney and Velus Jones. And the Bears had, wait for it, statistically, the worst defense in the history of that franchise. That franchise goes back to the beginning of the NFL. Like, if Justin Fields had walked into the situation that Caleb Williams is walking into, Justin Fields is still the quarterback for the Bears, and Caleb Williams will be drafted somewhere else.
You know, I think you're 100% right that no quarterback has ever had it better than Caleb, because I don't think there has been, certainly not in modern history, but probably in NFL history, a quarterback that was drafted, quote-unquote, naturally number one overall by a team that was better than the Bears, because they had the Carolina pick from the year before. So they didn't have to give up any assets to trade for the number one pick in the draft that they were trading, that they were actually picking first, and they were actually not the worst team. And so that combination... combined with, you know, being willing to give up the second for Montez Sweat and what he did for their defense last year after he got flipped out of here, like all that stuff, I think you're 100% right. Trey, who is the team for you that you are most excited to watch this year that's maybe not the obvious ones? Like, of course, it's really fun to watch Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs play football. Teams like the Ravens adding Derrick Henry, like the teams that we know about that are going to be at the top of their divisions. Is there someone that's a little bit more of a sleeper that you're really fond of, or perhaps just really fond of their over number when you're looking at the totals?
Wow, I thought I got you with the Commanders there, but you're asking me for another one. Okay, I tell you, let's do this the other way, right? I'm not so sure everything's going to be okay for the Cincinnati Bengals.
I like that.
Jamar Chase showed up today 13 minutes late to practice at street clothes. And 2 days ago, Zach Taylor, whom I love, by the way, and think has done a great job in changing the brand of the Cincinnati Bengals and the culture there, has gone from, yeah, he's ready day one. It's like, well, I'd be ready for game one. Well, it's day to day. Okay. They never got the T. Higgins thing right this offseason. And the thing was, well, if you're not going to pay T, clearly you're paying Jamar. Then Mike Brown, the owner, and the oldest of old school owners, is like, once the season has started, there's no time for negotiations. So that's got to rustle Jamar Chase a little bit when you see the contract that CD just got, $100 million guaranteed, $38 million signing bonus, okay? So we got to factor that all in. Then you have this really weird offseason for Joe Burrow, who, you know, is out, you know, as a fashion model at a bunch of these places, and comes back looking like early 2000s Eminem with the platinum blonde hair. I talked to somebody in Cincinnati that I trust a lot, and his reaction to me was, the vibe isn't good. The vibe isn't right. And, you know, you can say, oh, well, that's crap, and who cares when you play? It does matter, okay? Let's take Stephon Diggs, right? I think we can all agree that Stephon Diggs is a game-breaking wide receiver. There's no doubt about that. But why had two teams passed on him in his prime? Why was Minnesota ready to move on from him? And why was Buffalo ready to move on from him? Something wasn't right. It just wasn't working with Stephon Diggs in Buffalo. Something's not right in Cincinnati. And everyone's looking at them and saying, well, they were 9-8 last year, even without Joe Burrow suffering all those injuries. They still had a winning record, and they'll be good, and they'll be back. Don't be so sure. It's not that easy. I think the AFC North is loaded this year, absolutely loaded. And, you know, what players notice when you don't take care of your best players. They notice. So what goes on in their minds in the locker room is, well, if they're messing with him, what are they going to do with me? And that happens faster than you can imagine a lot of times in locker rooms. So it's going to be very interesting, especially if the Bengals get off to a slow start like they did last year and the year before. It'll be very interesting to see how this all sort of snowballs one way or the other.
That's a great point, and I'm very glad that cheap ownership is not something we have to deal with in Washington anymore.
Yeah,
they famously have to deal with in Cincinnati, and they kind of got around the last couple of years because all their best players were on rookie contracts. Last thing for you real quick on the way out, Trey, since you brought up the vibes. Can San Francisco overcome their bad vibes slash get Trent back in camp and figure out this Ayuk thing enough to be right where we expect them based off of what they've been, which is in the NFC Championship game and competing to be back in a Super Bowl?
Craig, I think that's also a really good point because to me, if you just told me to rank rosters 1 through 53, who has the best roster in football, I think San Francisco is right up there. They just don't have Patrick Mahomes at quarterback, which is, Brock Purdy is more than good enough. We've seen that. He's more than good enough. But to your point, why are we messing with Trent Williams? What's going on with Brandon Ayuk? And how is that going to play out? And thing nobody's talking about? Nobody's talking about. Christian McCaffrey has a calf strain. He's still not right. They're still not sure if he's ready to go week one. Remember Joe Burrow suffering a calf strain in training camp last year? Remember how limited he was as a quarterback last year when he tried to play through the early weeks of that calf strain? Well, multiply that by a running back whose entire job is his legs. So there are little things that have me concerned about San Francisco. Remember, they had to cancel joint practices with the Titans this summer because they were too banged up.
Right, never heard of that before. Never heard of it.
Sometimes that happens, and it can have a really detrimental effect. To your point, they were in Super Bowl 54. They had a setback in the season for Super Bowl 55. Then they were in the NFC Championship game. Then they were in the NFC Championship game the next year, and they lost all their quarterbacks, and they made it back to the Super Bowl last year and had a 10-point lead on the Chiefs. So they've been really consistent, and sometimes playing all those extra games, those injuries can add up, and it's a war of attrition.
No doubt about it, especially the physical style they play. I understand why Trent's like, the money's not guaranteed. I'm not really that interested with the things that you're going to ask me to do. Trey Wingo's got a brand new show, pregame for primetime football on the DraftKings Network, 6 o'clock Mondays and Thursdays this NFL season. Trey, you do so many different things. I can't possibly list them all, but you can because you do them. Anything else in particular you'd like to point the people to?
Sure. We've got the Alternate Routes podcast with my guy, Kevin Frazier. We take one moment in time and say, what if this had happened? How things would have been different? One we have that we're cooking on right now. What if Dan Snyder didn't buy the then Washington Redskins from Jack Kent Cook? And how would that have changed things? What if Dan Snyder hadn't shown up and become the worst owner in the history of the NFL in recent memory for one of the storied, generational cornerstone franchises of the NFL over the years? We've got that. I do some golf for NBC during the year. I also do some things for the PGA Tour, 3 or 4 events for them. And there's a few things that are on the pike that I can't really talk about now, but they'll be coming up shortly, and I'm excited to be a part of those as well.
Well, we always love having you, so if you want to come back and tell us about them when they come out, you are always invited, my friend. Always great to talk ball with you, and until the next time we talk, enjoy the final days before we catch the ride.
You got it, Craig. Always good to talk to you, pal.
You too. That's Trey Wingo, everybody, with us here on the Hoffman Show on the Team 980. When we get back, and by the way, our football coverage presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. When we get back, he was saying, more spots in the Hoffman Show Fantasy League are on the line. We'll reveal who has made the cut through our first hour, and we take your calls. Why should you be in the league? That is the question. Why should you be in the league? You have to prove that you get the show. You have to have a great show story, a great experience with the show that you can share with us. You cannot just tell us how great you are at fantasy football. You cannot just say flattering things about me, although that is very kind of you, because I think most of you were actually telling the truth. Why do you, caller, belong in our fantasy league? 301-230-0980. We get to it next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to LinkedIn.com/results to claim your credit. That's LinkedIn.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. You'll hear from Dan Quinn and Adam Peters coming up at 6 o'clock. Big, long press conference today talking about how they built the 53-player roster, why they didn't make any waiver claims, the practice squad choices, all of it. And we'll hear, or let you hear a lot of it coming up at 6 o'clock, interspersed with my thoughts on the matter because, well, I host the show and that's kind of how that goes. Right now, though, we continue to do a mandatory thing. If you host a radio show in 2024, Anthony, we try to fill our fantasy football league. We're going to do a show fantasy league, and the rules are both simple and complex in how you get in it. You tell us why you belong. I'm not looking for fantasy football resumes. I am looking for funny stories in connection with the show. Definitely loyal listenership and flattery or a bonus, but that's icing, not cake. We're looking for substance as to why you belong in the league, or at the very least, some kind of proof point that you truly understand the show. And we have decided that 3 callers from the first hour are going to be welcomed into the league. Billy from Miami, in the league. We told him on the air, he had vaulted to the top of our list. He was our last call of the first hour. Billy made it into the league. I can't believe this happened because he used reverse hater psychology, Anthony. But Teon's in the league. Against all odds. Even though he kind of threatened to be the most annoying person that I hate. Teon might get himself banned from the show before the end of the season, but Teon's in the league.
Hey, look. Not a lot of people could do what he did, and
it was so hilariously strategic. A bad idea. that he got himself in the league. And then our guy Dale started off a little rough. By rough, he was just sending me, right? Dale? Dennis?
Dennis.
Dennis, sorry. I hope there wasn't a Dale that just got his hopes up. Dennis. Dennis, I apologize. I got your name wrong. Dennis started off by being incredibly nice. And I was like, Dennis, this is very nice, but this is not what we're looking for. And then he got a little into his bio, his family history. And by golly, Dennis got himself in the league, Anthony.
And look, we love to see it, man.
So if you combine that with me, you, our guy Tony Squares, and then I believe it was Mitchell. Morgan. God, I'm just butchering names all over the place. Morgan, who got himself in via email, we got some spots filled, but we got 5 more to go, and the phone lines are about half full right now, meaning you can call in at 301-230-0980. I got some Twitter inputs as well, Anthony, that I will read to you momentarily. But let's start off with Terrence. Terrence, you are on the Hoffman Show. If I can find the mouse, there we go. Why should you be in the league?
What's up, Craig? First of all, everybody's on here talking about compliments and listening to the show. We all listen to the show. What are we talking about? We're talking about practice. We should be talking about fantasy football. So the reason why I should be on, if I actually play fantasy football, I'll be that person that's filling out the lineup every week. I'll be that person that would draft correctly, won't be submitting crazy trades. Nothing worse when you're playing fantasy football with a bunch of people who are not really playing after week 4 or 5, they clock out. It's nothing worse when you need that person week 14 to be someone else so you can get in the playoffs, or you get a number one seed and they playing their quarterback in week 3 that got hurt, 10 weeks ago. And lastly, if I do win I'm calling in that Tuesday. I'm gonna sing Eye of the Tiger like my broadcast dude. I'm singing that live on the show.
Terrence, see, the last point is the most intriguing. I mean, yes, we want people that will actually keep up with the league, but I have very explicit instructions, Terrence, that it's not really about your fantasy football prowess. I'm assuming that if you want to play, you're going to play. It's really about the connection to the show. Threatening to sing / promising to sing Eye of the Tiger if you win live on the radio, that very much is in line with the doofiness that is this radio program. So that and the dedication that you were on hold for, I think, 41 minutes, I'm going to say you're on the list. You're very beatable right now. I'll give you one last chance to make some other pitch to help your case here, but I'm going to at the very least have Anthony take down your email. Do you have anything else you'd like to add?
Sure. As long as I don't run into Anthony anywhere or Anthony don't attend a game that I don't play, then I should be good. As long as I don't get the Anthony jinx on me or I don't run into him anywhere, I should be good.
Okay, Terrence, that definitely just helped his cause. Terrence, stay on hold. Anthony's going to collect your information. He gets the show. He's aware of the curse.
Oh, my God. Hey, Terrence, I hope I run into you now.
Oh.
I hope so.
Anthony, if Terrence makes the league and Anthony is playing him like week three, Anthony's liable to show up at Terrence's house. Legal note, Anthony will not show up at anybody's house because that would be weird and potentially criminal. Okay, let's go to Doug in Richmond. Doug, why do you belong in the fantasy league?
Whew, okay, calling my nerves. All right. So, Craig, first I want to say I'm from Richmond, so I kind of want to give a little bit backstory of how I listened to the show and everything. So one day, I think it was a while back, we were talking about how Sam Howell got traded and talking about QB history. I don't know if you remember that call, but that was a while back ago. We were talking about quarterbacks. And then back on that day, actually, I was working, and I ran into someone while I was talking to you. And they were like, oh, you're a Commanders fan. And I was like, well, yeah, unfortunately, yeah. Just everything going on, how we were picking two in the draft and everything. And then this conversation led to somehow getting to know more about that guy. And meanwhile, I'm also I was a senior at VCU at the time. I'm still a senior. I'm graduating this semester.
Okay.
And I'm a senior. And this person was actually a guy who was a career person who came in, who works at the Federal Reserve Bank here in Richmond. And so I got to learn more about him. And then he told me about their offering internships. And I was like, oh, I will go ahead and apply to that. And then I got to further down the line doing some interview stuff, and I actually got the summer job. So
hey!
In a weird, incorrect way, you guys helped me get a job.
Doug, that's awesome. You are 1,000% on the list. This is the kind of way that you get yourself in the league. Anthony, I want you to write Doug's name at the top of the page. Doug, I can't guarantee you're in the league, but I damn near can guarantee you you're going to be in the league. Thank you for sharing that story. That is awesome. Congratulations on your job. And I do think that we'll see you in the draft room. That is good stuff from Doug in Richmond, Anthony. That is what we're looking for.
Oh, my God. You're fired up, man.
That's. Should I get sentimental for a moment?
Yes.
That's what this is about. Like this the whole point of sports in this largesse form that we do it in is that it's a community thing, right? Sports at its best, especially professional sports, especially professional football in a market like the DMV, brings people together. There was a long-running joke, and maybe this is still true, that the only thing that brings D.C. together, Democrats and Republicans and people of all persuasions and kinds and any way you can subdivide human beings, in D.C., the one thing that brought them together was the burgundy and gold. And then Dan Snyder bought the team, and that went down the toilet because I guess the only thing that brought people together was hating Dan Snyder. So in a way, I guess it was still accurate. And I'm sincerely hoping that in this new era of Washington football, whether they get called the Commanders in the long term or not, that we get back to that. But having this silly little radio show where, yes, we talk about football and we do it somewhat seriously, and then we don't take ourselves too seriously with it. And to have moments like that that remind us why we do all this in the first place, and then to have that kind of moment shared on the show, that's what it's all about. Shout out to Doug in Richmond. There is basically a 1,000% chance, a.k.a. it's guaranteed. Screw it. Anthony, I'm saying it right now. Doug's in the freaking league. That's what we're talking about. Doug, you're in the league. All right, let's get one more submission here. We have one to two more spots then remaining this hour. Let's go to Pete. Pete, why do you belong in the league?
Well, I'm pretty sure I can top all these guys, including the last one.
Okay, he got a job. Let's see what you got, Pete.
Well, if you don't like all this, then I don't know.
Maybe you don't get the show as well as you think. All right, hit me. Let's go.
All right. Well, here you go. Huge Washington football fan for 40 years. That's just the easy thing off the top.
Sure.
My connection to the show in a couple different ways. I interned for the George Michael Sports Machine.
Okay.
I was a sports guy on the news at NBC in Guam, Fox in Rochester, Minnesota, and NBC in Flint, Michigan.
Okay.
I'm also proud of the tribe like you. I'm Jewish.
Okay. That doesn't really move the needle that much for me, but sure.
All right. Fine. I also had a huge couch problem like you. We ordered a couch. The measurements were sweet. They delivered it. It wouldn't fit in the door. We returned it. And unlike you, it sucked and we didn't get another couch. Also, a connection for this 106.7, a fan of 980. About 20 years ago, I lent EB a travel golf bag. And
he didn't return it?
Get it back to me.
Yeah, no,
he never did.
He definitely didn't.
That's what I got.
Pete, it's good stuff. Your connections, George Michael Sports Machine is a cool fun fact. But they are much more to like sports media than they are specific to the show. I would say if the Junkies are doing a league,
that's what the other ones are specific to the show. The couch
is specific. I will say, all right, Pete, I'm going to put you on the list. I don't know. That definitely doesn't beat Doug getting the job. I would say if the Junkies do a fantasy league, you should definitely call them and be like, EB, you owe me a golf bag, but you can just give me, at this point, 20 years later, you can give me a fantasy football league spot. So we're going to put Pete on hold, Anthony. You can get his info. And Pete is on the chopping block, potentially. But as of now, you know, I guess he's got a spot. But we'll see if some of the folks that are on hold or anybody that's about to call in is going to pass him. I'm monitoring Twitter as well. So I might take a Twitter submission here. I got a couple that I like. But 301-230-0980, make your case. Why do you belong in the Hoffman Show Fantasy League? Then we're back to Adam Peters and Dan Quinn's press conference today where they discuss the 53-player roster at 6 o'clock. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. All right, why do you belong in the Hoffman Show Fantasy League? That is the question we are asking you at 301-230-0980. Had lots of passion, please. Lots of good stories, but we still got some spots available. We have up to two more available this hour. Definitely one more, and then we have some more spots available at 6:30 at 301-230-0980. All right, let's get back to the phones. Let's go to Anthony. Is this Karan that we have?
Yes, sir.
Karan, you're on the Hoffman Show. Why do you belong in the league?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call, Craig. I'm on the Hoffman Show. My connection is through, found you all through Take Command. Love the podcast you do with Logan. And I am actually, I think the thing that makes me unique is I am actually the captain of the Commanders Hype Squad on the field at every game. And I got some sideline stories for you. First off, like, I didn't trust the leadership. I didn't know the leadership about Jaden Daniels until this Saturday or this Sunday at the game. But man, do you see it. The first, like, when you're looking at the game from the sideline, all the guys who know they're on the roster are wearing gray shirts and all of that. There's one guy in that white block where you see the coaches all the time, and man, that was Jaden Daniels, and that hyped me up. So I'm so excited to see that. The other thing is you have Michael Monday, Tishler Tuesday. You had Wingo on here earlier. What about some Wingo Wednesdays?
Now Karen's trying to, or Karan's trying to program the show, and he's actually doing a pretty good job. That's not a bad idea. Anthony, we did commit to just having all of our regular guests being based off alliteration. Honestly, that's good enough to get you on the list, Karan. So I'm going to put you on hold. Anthony's going to take your information. We might have had the instructions are prove that you get the show. He gets the show. All right, let's go to Ron. Ron, why do you belong in the Hoffman Show Fantasy League?
Hey, what's up, Craig? I believe I belong because the number one reason is that I hate the Cowboys. That's a unifier. That's all. That should get me in. I mean, I hate them so much that when they played, that I saw Donovan McNabb beat them, and I became an Eagles fan as a kid, bro, as a kid. Now I dropped the Eagles when they were good, and I became a Commanders fan because I wanted to root for home. But that's why I believe I belong, because I hate the Stars. And, yeah, that's about it.
Ron, that's I love your passion. I love your energy.
For sure. That's another reason why I want to get in, man. I want to provide some competition for you. You say seven-time champ? That's ridiculous.
I mean, I didn't say – I said I don't care whether you're a seven-time champ because it's not really about the football. I'm sorry.
Not for me. You said you won your league, right?
Oh, no. I was just making – I was – that. No, I didn't, I didn't say that. All right, Ron, you're welcome to call back and hate on the Cowboys and talk ball anytime on the show. I don't think that's going to be enough to be in the league, though. Let's go to Pat. Pat, thanks for calling. You're on the show. Why do you belong in the league?
I belong in the league because I just turned off Pink Pony Club for my 3-year-old daughter so that we could listen to the show and get some updates on the team after that last game, because I want to see everything else, but been listening to y'all for a long time, and I don't know, that's pretty much all I got. Although I'm about to turn it back on because that is a banger.
Yeah, no, that Pink Pony Club is kind of a banger. Pat, I appreciate your passion and your choice. We have a couple of parenting submissions. Tell you what, Anthony, get Pat's info. We might have a spot for Pat specific to Chapel Run Pink Pony Club. Anthony, you should just tell me there's breaking news, though, that we might have to be serious here for a moment. So I'm going to hit the – I don't know what the breaking news is, so Anthony's about to tell me. And either I'm about to get really mad at Anthony because this isn't news that's worth interrupting the show for, or we're going to have breaking news to talk about.
Breaking news.
Oh, snap, news is broken. Breaking news.
I feel as though I'm in a lose-lose situation here.
what's the news, Anthony?
So the news is the Commanders have signed a wide receiver.
Okay.
His name is Noah Brown.
Okay, that's legit breaking news.
Okay, all right. Hey!
Anthony's news judgment gets him in the league for today. I'm not going to throw Anthony out of the show league because he interrupted. Okay. That's legit news. I wish it would have happened earlier in the day so that Adam Peters and Dan Quinn could have been asked about it. But we'll take some Noah Brown breaking news. So is there anything more specific in terms of did they do anything else to the wide receiver position yet? Again, this is the really fun job of live radio, is you get to do these things in real time. And sometimes you say something and then You realize that you're wrong. So Noah Brown is signing with the Commanders, according to Jeremy Fowler, will join the active roster. They'd have a roster spot because they traded John Ridgeway today. So they don't have to necessarily cut Byron Pringle or Jameson Crowder or anybody else from that wide receiver room. They can just operate with seven as of right now. Brown was definitely one of the more surprise cuts. He obviously is someone who's familiar to Dan Quinn, as he was in Dallas for a number of years, although he's released from Houston. He's got 1,500 career yards receiving, 28 years old, out of Mount Olive, New Jersey. Bigger body, 6'2", got some speed, and is still, like, he's not a young player. He's 28. seventh round pick by Dallas all the way back in 2017. But he is a guy that has a good amount of experience and has played in a lot of games. And that is just not something that they have in their wide receiver room. Guy who played, 16 games for Dallas in 2022, 13 in 2021, 16 in 2020. So he's been relatively reliable. Did just play 10 last year, had 33 catches on 55 targets for the Texans. He's been over 500 yards the last 2 years. Last year averaged 17 yards a catch. So you talk about that vertical speed. Also, if my math is correct, he would have been at Ohio State with Terry McLaurin because he was there until 2017, with Terry being drafted in 2019 as, I believe, a fifth-year senior. They would have been together for a couple of years at Ohio State. So, yes, legitimate breaking news. The Commanders have added to their receiving corps. We'll see if there's any more moves to come over the next couple of days. But the Commanders do get a bigger, faster receiver than not necessarily faster, but a bigger bodied, still with speed receiver than they've been kind of looking for. It probably is part of the reason why they don't bring back Martavius Bryant as even a practice squad option. And then we'll see how he slots in as the regular season goes. And he learns the offense here over the next couple, really week and a half, but certainly couple of weeks until he's going to be operating at full capacity. More reaction on that. Plus, we will get into the Commanders press conference today, where Adam Peters and Dan Quinn addressed the press on all things 53-man roster, etc. So we will get to that coming up next. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, and we're always live as well on the free Odyssey app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.